Get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. A federal judge ordering the Trump administration to help get back another different migrant who was deported to El Salvador. ABC's Catherine Falders.
The judge, in this case, the new one that we're discussing is a Trump appointee. She ordered the government not to remove other individuals covered by this settlement, the 2019 settlement. So it does potentially tee up another court battle that the Trump administration will have to fight here.
The U.S. and China are talking every day about tariff negotiations, says President Trump at the White House, but China publicly saying, no, we aren't. Now, a second federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from making federal funds to schools conditional on eliminating diversity and equality policies. Two federal judges in Maryland and New Hampshire doing so today. The convicted mass shooter Robert Cremo has been sentenced to life in prison for the deadly 2022 Chicago area July 4th parade massacre. This is ABC News. Two sets of remains near a Long Island, New York beach have been identified, police say, in an ongoing potential serial killer case. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Suspected Gilgo Beach serial killer Rex Huerman has pleaded not guilty to murdering seven women. He has not been charged in the deaths of Jackson and her daughter, and police did not say whether he would be. As they put it, we have 27 years of catching up to do.
Round one of the NFL draft set for tonight in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is where ABC's Ike Ajachi is.
Former Miami quarterback Cam Ward expected to be selected by the Tennessee Titans. Ward finishing his D1 career with the most total touchdowns in college history. Up next on the clock is the Cleveland Browns. Colorado University's Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter expected to go there. The one-of-a-kind generational athlete known for playing both offense and defense, coached by Hall of Famer Deion Sanders.
ABC's Ike Ajachi, the NFL draft in Green Bay. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
When you switch to Progressive, you could save bundling your home and auto. Then you could put that money towards some of the surprisingly more expensive things in life.
May I help you? I just wanted to request a late checkout, please.
Of course. That's $30 per hour for up to 4 hours.
Huh. Okay, but if you can offer a late checkout, then that probably means no one is staying in that room. So if it's empty, you know, maybe I can just stay a few extra hours.
Oh, aren't you adorable?
Life costs a lot, so bundle and you could save with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates and other insurers, not available in all states.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains April 25th through the 28th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. At the Capitol, health care providers expressed support for legislation from Democratic lawmakers establishing a statutory right to abortion in Wisconsin. Ashlyn Brown is a doctor at the UW Department of Family Medicine and Community Health.
I'm trained to provide patients with all of the care they need. As someone who is trained to provide full-spectrum reproductive health care, including abortion, when people decide to end a pregnancy, they should be able to continue to see me for that normal, basic health care.
The Abortion Rights Restoration Act would remove the state's 1849 abortion ban, abortion medications restrictions, and abortion coverage bans. It's unlikely to advance in the Republican-controlled legislature. Legislation that could identify Wisconsin's missing in action will be reintroduced this session. During Veterans Day at the Capitol Tuesday, Jordan Tillison with the Wisconsin VFW spoke about the University of Wisconsin Missing in Action Recovery and Identification Project.
How are we supposed to rest at night knowing when our brothers and sisters are still lost, are still missing and not recovered? We need to bring them home, and we need to pass this important piece of legislation.
Representative Christine Sinicki will reintroduce a bill to provide annual funding for teams to search specifically for Wisconsin's missing in action. An assembly bill aimed at reforming the unemployment insurance program has passed.
Mosinese Brent Jacobson is the author of Assembly Bill 164, which requires those on unemployment to make at least two direct contacts with potential employers per week, starting with their third week of benefits. Anyone who is still without work after 23 weeks would be required to complete a reemployment counseling session. The package of bills also rebrands unemployment insurance as reemployment assistance. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a Never-Clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today and mild high temperatures still making it to the upper 50s. Scattered showers start to spark up this afternoon and become more numerous tonight. We'll be waking up tomorrow to patchy fog, light rain, and breezy winds, keeping our highs cooler, stuck to the mid-50s. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 58.
A big rally in the bean oil market helped soybeans finish the day with solid gains. Corn and wheat were slightly higher. Cotton was higher again. Lean hogs and live cattle were mixed with feeders moderately higher. And Class 3 milk futures were mostly lower today.
Live from the downslope from Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's a conversation with Matt Trannell from EverAg, directly following the news all over slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
I feel like we're at least halfway down the slope from hump day already.
We must be. Must be.
We got
to
be.
Yeah.
We got to be, at least. Mm-hmm. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That is Davis, and we are going to be talking about what's going on in the milk market today.
Mm-hmm.
So, looking forward to that. We've got Matt Trannell coming in from EverAg, and looking forward to the conversation with Matt. Kind of not another active day around the markets. Take a look at the equities. Solid rallies in the Dow, in the S&P, in the NASDAQ. NASDAQ really pushing to the upside, more than 500 points higher. So, it feels like, or I should say it felt like, one of those days that the market was kind of gathering its footing, okay? Mm-hmm. Where all of a sudden President Trump is softening up on his rhetoric about China, and some of the buying came rolling back into the market. So
yeah.
it felt like a day.
Yeah, it really did. That's all. That's all I have to report about that. Well, let's see. No, see, and I had chicken, so I don't know if I'm going to be much help today. I had chicken for lunch. I made some chicken cordon bleus last night, and so I chopped that up and put it in some white rice and warmed that up, and then laid a couple of sunny side eggs over the top.
Yeah.
Oh, mama. That's living.
Okay, now, but was there some ham on there with it?
There was ham. There was cheese.
See?
You bet.
You can't. That's. You've got no excuse.
You know what?
You've got
no
excuse. You're jacked up on ham, man.
That's true. I'm smarter than I thought I was.
Yeah.
Good to know.
That is exactly right. All right, let's go ahead and get to the markets.
You bet. Well, July, soft red winter wheat futures opened higher, fell to test support at 540, and then recovered to close slightly below the opening range. That was the first higher close of the week for the wheat market that's been under pressure from trade uncertainty and improved growing conditions in the central and southern plains. Export sales of wheat in the weekend of April 17 was a net sales cancellation of 145,000 metric tons. Unknown destinations in Mexico were on the cancellation list. Fresh sales were led by Vietnam. July HRW wheat futures 0.5 cent higher, 550 3/4. July soft red wheat up a penny to 544 1/2. July spring wheat closed at 607 3/4. Chip, that's up 0.75 cents today.
Yeah, good rains out in Nebraska, Kansas, down into Oklahoma, and even East Texas picking up some heavy rains and some severe weather right now. So, but it's impressive to me for this wheat market to move higher when we're getting rain in Kansas at the end of April.
Yeah.
I'm pretty impressed.
Well, Chip, corn export sales in the weekend of April 17 totaled 1.15 million metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations and slightly ahead of the four-week average pace. Japan easily topped the list of buyers at nearly 630,000 metric tons. Traders also noted positive momentum on the biofuels front. Nationwide availability of E15 and support for maxed out renewable volume obligations under the RFS are both seeing bipartisan support. July corn futures opened fractionally higher and then near session lows and rallied to a high range close. May corn futures 5 1/4 cents higher today, 477 1/4. July corn up 4 3/4, 484. December corn futures closed at 456 1/2, up 2 cents today, Chip.
Yeah, we talked about the momentum for some of the biofuels and ethanol this morning on the show with Troy Bradenkamp from the Renewable Fuels Association. Give that a listen. There's some positive news there.
Well, Chip, July bean futures pushed through resistance at the top of the recent sideways trading range and posted the highest close since February 25. Positive momentum for biofuels supported a sharp rally in bean oil futures, providing spillover support for beans. Traders were also active on the long side of bean oil against selling in bean meal. Also supporting prices were comments from the White House indicating the potential for trade talks with China. Export sales of soybeans in the weekend of April 17 totaled 277,000 metric tons. Mexico, the Netherlands at the top of the buyer's list. Soybean, bean meal, and bean oil export sales all in line with trade expectations. May beans 12 3/4 higher, 1053. July beans up 11 3/4, 1062. November beans close at 1035 1/2, up 8 cents, Chip.
Nice move in the bean pit today. Really impressive the way that market performed. We'll get Oliver's take on that here in just a moment.
Chip, cotton export sales totaled 104,000 running bales. That's actually down 22% from the four-week average. December cotton today was 40 points higher at 70.37. On your livestock's beef export sales, 10,300 metric tons, 11% below the four-week average. Boxed beef prices this morning were up $1.38 on modest movement. Traders are still looking for higher cash cattle trade this week. June fat cattle were a dime lower at 208, posted an inside trading day. October fats up 37 1/2, 202.07 1/2, and May feeder futures 72 1/2 cents higher at 289.07 1/2. And on the snout side, pork export sales, a marketing year low, just 5,800 metric tons, off more than 80% from the four-week average. May lean hogs, still up 7 1/2 anyway, 91.95, Chip.
All right, Davis. Hey, let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Good afternoon, Oliver.
Chip, how we doing today?
Doing real fine. That move in the bean market, it was, when I took a look at the chart this afternoon, I really didn't expect to see that upside breakout, but it's trying, isn't it?
It is trying, and I think July is basically on the doorstep of it. And really, beans have been constructive throughout the week, especially with the weakness we've seen in corn. Beans have kind of shrugged that off and been trading on their own, which is great. And then late this afternoon, you know, we got some positive trade and headline developments, which, you know, take it with a grain of salt because these headlines are like a light switch. They're on and they're off. But at least it was in the positive direction. Hopefully we can continue to see that gear in the positive direction and not get walked back. If we can continue to get good positive trade news, I think there's some momentum, you know, behind this move. 1060 is the line in the Sanford July, got out above there today. On that new crop November contract, you're looking at 1036, 1040, consecutive closes out above there, and we could see this thing start moving a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you take a look at that, the way the cattle market traded today, the June contract was a dime lower, but it was an impressive dime lower, wasn't it?
It was. It was, as Davis had mentioned, an inside day. Yesterday's move was, you know, constructive. Honestly, I'm a little bit disappointed, even with yesterday's action, which sounds crazy because it was a new contract high. I really thought that with the cash market trading where it is, April, you know, 213 and change, that you'd see this June contract maybe try to make a bigger push towards 210, and maybe it can here still yet. But the fact that we're not able to get that follow through here this week is a little bit of a caution flag for me, despite the strong fundamental backdrop.
All right. Well, they got to take profits at some point, right?
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oliver, thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Take care.
All right. That is Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. We are taking a look at what is happening in the dairy markets. Class 3, we'll talk about the butter markets. We'll get into the cheese markets. We've got Matt Tranel from EverAg coming up next here on AgriTalk.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/BeSure.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com. What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive. Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
The Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic is here for all your primary care needs. From annual visits and sports physicals to new or chronic conditions, our compassionate team looks forward to caring for you during all stages of life. For your convenience, we offer on-site lab, same-day appointments, physical therapy, and more services to come. Call the Amplify Health Mondovi Clinic to schedule your appointment at 715-926-1113.
Since 1936, Brunner's Seed has been helping farmers plan for the next corn and soybean growing season. Brunner's Seed, in partnership with ProHarvest Seeds, offers farmers a broad range of traits and genetics from Bayer, Monsanto, Syngenta, and Enlist. Brunner's Seeds are locally grown under the same conditions as your farm, so they're suited for your farming operation. To find a dealer, visit brunnerseed.com or call 715-672-5887. Start your next growing season off right with seed from Brunner's Seeds. Family owned and operated. Highway 10, Durand.
Listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on a Thursday afternoon already. Pretty amazing. I mean, Here we are sneaking up on the end of the week, Davis.
I feel like the end of the week is actually sneaking up on us, Chip.
Okay, the other way
depends
around.
On how
I like
you look
it.
At it. Yeah.
I guess it is. I mean, it's just a matter of perspective. That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like the idea that you're out there being stealthy.
Yeah. It keeps me on edge. It keeps me salty thinking that I'm just constantly being stalked.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
The future's coming for me.
I'm sure that the people around you feel the same way. All right. Let's talk about what's happening in the dairy markets. We've got Matt Tranel from EverAg with us. Matt, it's been a while, but it's good to talk to you again. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing real fine. So it's been a nice recovery that we've seen in the Class 3 milk futures from the lows that we posted earlier this month. What's pushing it? What's driving that?
Yeah, when we initially went lower, it was on the back end of tariff talk. We were going to tariff the entire world. In regards to trying to get better trade deals and whatnot, and that kind of spooked the markets and traders and so what. Prices of cheese ended up moving from about $1.80 down to $1.60. Milk prices went from 17.5 down to about 16.60. At that point in time, regardless of having tariffs or not, we were a very good value buy from a cheese export standpoint. And so we did hear of a lot of different export orders that essentially got chunked off specifically in quarter two, but also a little bit into quarter three as well. And anytime we do go through one of those timeframes of major exports, it does end up leaving the spot market a little bit caught off guard, or just a little less product available readily available in near term cheese, and ultimately buyers started to take look for a product and they bid it back higher. So we watched the May futures essentially move from 1660 all the way up to 1880 yesterday. Yeah. I would also say another piece of it too is that open interest in the month of May. I mean, we were over 7,000 contracts of open interest. That's a massive position. Not only was it farmers being short, but it was managed money that was short the market. It was also small traders that were short the market. As we started to move higher and higher and people came on margin call, $4,000 contracts short or long at any given time, but you have to be aware of it because milk is a very small market, and when they are making their moves, it can sometimes move the market a couple of bucks or even 3 to 4.
Right. Isn't it something that export demand for cheese brought that market back in the middle of all this tariff talk? When you find value, you find value. That's kind of the message, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, we were at $1.60, $1.65. The world market was $2.25 to $2.40. New Zealand's kind of that $2.25 market. Europe was that $2.40 market. And when you have a discount such as that, you're gonna find some values. When we looked at that early April tariff talk, we did leave Mexico out of the equation. Mexico's always been kind of our biggest buyer. And then we also saw right off the bat some of our countries that we do a lot of business with, Japan, South Korea. They opted for some negotiation over retaliation.
Yeah.
And so, you just saw a lot of people come to the table and say that that's really just too cheap of cheese compared to the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit more about Mexico, Matt, because when we talk about Mexico and the trade issues, everybody wants to talk about pork. Everybody wants to talk about corn, how important Mexico is. But it's the number one importer of U.S. dairy products, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really not even close, to be honest. I know in the most recent export data, mm-hmm. Mexico bought 33 million pounds of cheese out of the 99 million pounds of cheese that we exported as a whole, so a third. And in different times, they're above 33%. So they are major. They buy a significant amount of our powder as well. And so, we need to keep them happy from a dairy front.
Okay, that milk powder, is it for food, or are they using that in feed? I'm just curious there.
Yeah, usually it's for food.
Okay, all right, very good. What else? What else is happening that in this milk market during this price recovery?
Yeah, so we've essentially received a couple of USDA reports this week. So the first one was the milk production report that came out on Tuesday. And, milk production data came in a little bit less than what was expected or what the analysts were estimating. Milk production came in at 0.9% positive year over year. I know our guess at EverAg was closer to about 1.5%. Growth, and I know one of our competitors was 1.2%, and so we were both a little bit high, and as a result of that, we did see a little bit of strength in the late Tuesday markets into Wednesday. Cow numbers, while they were down net report to report 1,000 head, they do continue to grow because of some slower slaughter numbers, but actually the report that just dropped was the cold storage report that came out less than a half an hour ago.
Right.
And, butter inventories, they came in at about 323 million pounds, up 17 million pounds report to report. We look at that as kind of a neutral report to what we see happening in the markets beyond this. The cheese markets, we're up 11 million pounds, so we're sitting at 1.392 billion pounds, and we also kind of looked at that as neutral to the market. We were looking at anything like flat or whatnot to be bullish. We were looking at anything that was over 25 to 30 million pounds as bearish. 11 million pounds, I would say that's pretty neutral to what we're probably going to see in the markets.
Yeah, gotcha. When you're talking about stocks of cheese in the billions of pounds, I mean, is that a factor that's kind of a wet blanket on the market? How does the milk market look at that?
Yeah, so the milk market looks at it as we're not going to run out in the very near near future. But at the same time, the milk market's also looking at it compared to the last 4 to 5 years where we've been over 1.4 billion pounds traditionally at this time of the year. And so on one hand, you're saying we're not running out. On the other hand, it's not as full as what it normally is. And so the market today kind of looks at it as a little bit neutral, but at the same time, it looks at it in conjunction with the new plant capacity that's come on board as one that we're going to be able to take care of the business here in the future.
Okay.
Pretty easy.
All right. Talk about another inventory. You mentioned the cow numbers. The value of those animals in the cull market, is that getting a quicker turn going in the dairies?
Not yet.
Really?
Not yet. I mean, so today we had the slaughter data come out, and Year to date, we're still down 8.1% on culling and out of dairy cows. And so when you do the math on that, that's 69,000 animals less that we've culled year to date than what we did last year.
Wow.
And so that answers the question of why cow numbers in the milk production report are going up.
Okay.
Or at least part of it, the answer.
Okay, yeah, that's part of the answer there. I would assume that a tight supply of replacement heifers, has that got something to do with it too?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the tight supply of replacement animals, I mean, we're hearing that they're going for $4,000 a head to replace the animals. I mean, and you look back in October, there were some pretty good margins on the table. Corn and bean prices were pretty cheap. Milk prices were pretty darn good. And so if dairies did their job of hedging, ultimately they likely had some pretty good profitability in the first half of the year. And so some of these cows have been able to stick around in the barns a little bit longer. But as we know, if margins do get a little bit tighter, it won't be tough to turn some of this milk income into hamburger.
All right. Excellent, Matt. We are talking with Matt Tranel from Ever Ag. And we got to take a quick break, Matt. But we talked a lot about the export side of the market on the demand side. Let's talk a little bit about the domestic side when we come back with Matt here on AgriTalk.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where July HRW wheat futures were 0.5 cent higher at 550 3/4. July soft red wheat up a penny, 544 1/2. May corn futures were 5 1/4 cents higher at 477 1/4. December corn futures closed at 456 1/2. That's up 2 cents today. May soybean futures 12 3/4 cents higher at 1053. Novi beans closed at 1035 1/2. That's up 8 cents. December cotton today was 40 points higher at 70.37. On your livestock, June fat cattle were a dime lower, 208. May feeders 72 1/2 cents higher at 289.07 1/2. And May lean hog futures up 7 1/2 cents today to 91.95. Get more market news every market day. Simply visit tryprofarmer.com.
Daily money management from Numbers R Us. It's all the same things an accountant does for a business, but for you. Whether it's an older loved one, a member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Rhonda at Numbers R Us makes your financial life headache-free and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Rhonda handles bills, deposits, and payments, monitoring accounts, and providing complete transparency. Set up a free visit with Rhonda at numbersrus.com.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. Etchewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to chippewavalleyenergy.com.
Every piece of land tells a story. The right equipment helps you tell it your way. Impromptu ball games, evenings with friends, or working on your own little piece of paradise. That's your story. A John Deere mower from Tractor Central helps you get there with precision, comfort, speed, and even a little fun. Visit Tractor Central to find the right John Deere lawn tractor or zero turn for your property. And a quality cut? That's only the beginning. Start now at TractorCentral.com.
It's a John Deere day.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today and mild high temperatures still making it to the upper 50s. Scattered showers start to spark up this afternoon and become more numerous tonight. We'll be waking up tomorrow to patchy fog, light rain, and breezy winds, keeping our highs cooler, stuck to the mid-50s. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath & Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 58.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. We are in the middle of a conversation with Matt Trannell from EverAg. Matt, there was just a headline on one of the news networks that I watch frequently. That would be Fox. But the headline was, we've been meeting with China on tariffs. That's got to make us feel a little bit better. I mean, I'm sure that the Chinese are going to deny it, but that's a good sign, isn't it?
I would certainly believe so. I would certainly believe that there's going to be, I guess, positive sentiment in regards to reading that headline. And I would think that most ag commodities would find a little bit of support behind that. With that being said, the United States doesn't send a ton of U.S. dairy products other than whey and some other things to China. So it might be a little bit more muted in the dairy markets compared to grains or cattle or something along those lines. But it certainly won't hurt at all.
Yeah, Matt. Coming off of COVID, there was a big push on fluid milk consumption in China because it was promoted as a health benefit, right?
Correct. Yep.
Is that still going on?
I believe so. It's probably died off a little bit, but I would certainly believe that the government is still kind of pushing it. But I haven't seen any data that would suggest that in quite some time. But I do remember seeing that when it came out.
Yeah. All right, talk to me. I mean, every time we talk about beef demand here, Matt, it's just kind of it's really, really impressive what's been going on beef demand. Pork demand is good. Chicken demand is good. Eggs, when we were looking at the egg prices getting up to $5, $6 a dozen, consumers were still buying them. What's the situation here on domestic dairy demand?
Yeah, so I think it really kind of depends on where we're kind of talking and where they're getting it from. Okay. So frozen pizza sales continue to be up pretty substantially through the end of 2024 into 2025. I guess one of the problems with so that is one of the indexes that we do follow, but one of the problems with frozen pizza sales is that it is probably one of your more economical meals, I would argue, for a family to have. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times that can be a little bit of a barometer as far as where the economy has been or is. From a cheese standpoint, overall, it's been okay. I would say that it's actually performed maybe a little bit better in 2025 than maybe what some expectations would have been, just due to all of the new capacity that is and has come online. There was definitely some concern that we could really get ourselves buried underneath it. But from what we've seen, especially in the grocery store, is that if it's on sale or it's being promoted, you do have some pretty decent activity as far as demand out of consumers. If you're asking consumers to maybe go to the local pizzeria or something along those lines. In-house dining is still doing okay, but carryouts are most certainly down. That's one of the categories that we have seen. And so from my seat, it looks like if consumers are going to go out, they want the experience. Otherwise, they're going to maybe trade off or trade down to something else. And so I would say cheese demand has been okay. It's certainly not lighting the world on fire, but it's not down in the dumps like maybe it could have been.
Right, right. Is the move back to real butter still a thing?
It has been a thing, yeah.
Yeah.
It has been a thing. I guess in the sense of butter, though, it's kind of been a struggle in that particular commodity all along. As we've continued to watch dairies push components and maybe it's something in the feed, but butterfat test the last 3 years have been 4.05%, then 4.1% in 2023, and this year we're up towards like 4.25%. And so there's just been a lot of cream out in the countryside that has allowed butter manufacturers to produce a lot of butter, and ultimately we've unfortunately seen butter prices fall off fairly significantly.
All right. So I want to go back to the exports here for just a moment. What about our competitors, New Zealand? What's happening in Europe? What kind of an impact is that having on us?
Yeah, so New Zealand, especially right now, is in large part supplying the Chinese market, as they oftentimes do. Proximity would say that they can get into the Asian market, the China market, fairly easily and throw on top of it where our current tariffs are with China. We'll see if we get those reduced or not. But right now, with the board at 50-cent whey, we're probably not going to be sending $1.10 whey into China. And so they're getting a lot of that from New Zealand and whatnot. Europe, on the other hand, they've also, I guess, been able to capture some of that Chinese market. Really, a lot of it in regards to the whey standpoint, a lot of the Europe whey is going into China, whereas the United States is sending some of our whey into Europe as it sits today. Probably just changing the flag on the boat and continuing it on, mm-hmm. but ultimately they're kind of doing that. But when it comes to Europe, Europe's really been kind of struggling a little bit, I would say, in regards to milk production. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been dealing with blue tongue disease the last couple of years, which really kind of flares up when the months kind of hit, and that kind of curbs some milk production. Real recently, it started in Hungary, but also in Slovakia, they're dealing with a little bit of foot and mouth disease. Mm-hmm. And while those aren't two of their major producers, Poland's right next door, and they do export a lot of product to a lot of different regions. So it's still kind of in the infancy of that particular talking topic. We'll see if that continues to grow or not, but I think that's one of the pieces, at least out of the European market, that we need to watch very, very closely moving forward.
Okay. All right. What does $18 milk represent on a profitability scale, Matt?
I mean, normally it would be probably making a little bit of money or breaking even. I guess in today's markets, I think when you account for beef on dairy animals and cull cows at $18, I think dairies are doing okay. When you look at the full grasp of it, but, I would say, a lot of times it's probably making a little bit of money / breaking even for the most part.
The beef on dairy is changing the whole, it's changing a lot of the operating and the business models on these dairies, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it's the most economical way right now to kind of play the game. Hearing a lot of guys getting $1,000 a head for a day-old calf. Been hearing real recently that it's even a little bit higher than that. Mm-hmm. And so economics certainly suggests that we should be pushing that as hard as we can. And ultimately, that's keeping a few more replacement animals out of the system and curbing maybe some of the supply down the road a little bit.
Yeah. It impresses me, though, when you look at the breeding plans that some of these dairies have got so that they can balance their replacements with the beef on dairy. It takes a level of management that I don't think they ever anticipated. Most guys didn't think they would ever do this.
100%. Yeah. It's pretty impressive how down to the calf or animal that a lot of these dairymen can kind of run their operation. Not only just that, but also pinpointing which animals have the best genomics, and they want to use sex semen on those ones to throw the heifer calves, and the rest of them are kind of in the beef. But yeah, no, it's dairymen have it down to a science for the most part these days.
It's unbelievable. The technology is just astonishing what they're doing now. Whoa, just a couple of minutes left here, Matt. Talk to me about risk management. When somebody calls you up and says, listen, I've got, what do I need to do here to cover my risk? What do you tell them?
Yeah, so for the most part, we're telling them use floors. So use CME puts, use LGM dairy, use DRP, use some floors. At present moment, and with all the capacity that's come on, at least from a cheese and a class three end of the spectrum, we need to export cheese. And to do that, we're going to need to be the lowest priced cheese until domestic consumption can really catch up and we can use that in-house here. There's a very real story, I think, out there that also that says if we get to a certain price point, whether that's $17, $16.50, I really don't know what the number is. But there's also the very real story that if we were to drop prices into something like that, you can probably curb some supply relatively quickly. And that's just through the sense that slaughter and coal prices are so strong. Yeah. And so from my seat on risk management, I think it's one where you got to protect the bottom because you know you have to be the lowest price, but you got to stay open to the top side because you're going to see some volatility.
Really cool. Really cool. Matt, I enjoyed this. Thanks, man. I don't talk dairy that often, and I enjoy it, but it's good to talk to somebody that knows what the heck's going on in there. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite. You bet.
You bet. That is Matt Tranel from Ever Ag. Davis and I will be right back.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
They say all good things come to those who wait, but not for those who wait for that next auto breakdown that could cost you thousands of dollars. I'm Danica Patrick. In the past 5 years, auto repair costs have gone up over 36%. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all. With an Endurance Auto Protection Plan, no matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done by the certified mechanic of your choice. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, and lockout services. Act now and get the benefits of our elite plan, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you can never pay for covered auto repairs again. So call now for your free quote.
Call 800-386-6029. That's 800-386-6029. 800-386-6029.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on. And now, you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-948-1659. 800-948-1659.
800-948-1659. 800-948-1659. That's 800-948-1659.
Others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to FarmJournalTV.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at FarmJournalTV.com.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Hey. Oh.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Davis.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal, Davis Michelson, here with Chip Lorreal. Right here on AgriTalk. Hey, how about a little more nuttiness?
Just remember, Pilgrim, you can't spell AgriTalk without a little grit in the middle. Saddle up. AgriTalk.
You made mention of rumors that the Trump administration was in talks, negotiations underway with China.
Well, I don't think it's a rumor. Trump said it.
He did say it, but China did deny it. Here, I've got an AP story just from today, 2:04 p.m. Central Time. This is not even an hour old from the AP. I'm just going to read it out of here. Quote from the very top, this out of Bangkok. China on Thursday denied any suggestion it was in active negotiations with the administration of President Trump over tariffs, saying any notion of progress in the matter was was as groundless as trying to catch the wind. I love it when they speak in poetry like that, you know? It's cool.
I wonder what
China's comments
like in
came
Mandarin.
After Trump. Their comments came after Trump said Tuesday that things were going, quote, fine with China, and that the final tariff rate on Chinese exports would come down substantially from the current 145%. Spokesman for China's foreign ministry said, daily briefing, for all I know, he says, quote, China and the U.S. are not having any consultation or negotiation on tariffs, still less reaching a deal. And then I'll just leave it at this. This is still from the AP. I'm reading straight off of their website here. Thank you, AP. Let me see if I can find the spot. Well, anyway, basically Trump was saying, yeah, we're in talks with people, but nobody needs to worry about who those people are right now. But yeah, there actually are talks, and it almost sounds like he's saying there are talks about China, not talks with China. There may be just a little, there, despite economic measures leveled, Trump said Tuesday that he would be very nice and not play hardball with Chinese President Xi Jinping.
Interesting. You know, this morning we had a conversation with Andy Schisler. Andy's got kind of a unique perspective on what is happening in China. He's got some family ties in China. And, you know, when the conclusion that he kind of came to, and I agree, to really get this started, the U.S. is saying that the ball is in China's court to start the talks and to advance the talks. Andy's opinion is that President Xi is sitting over there waiting for a quote-unquote apology of sorts from President Trump about restarting this trade war before he's going to be willing to talk.
Yeah.
And if we're not going to see any progress until that happens, we might be sitting on this for a while.
Yeah, it could be. Just to make sure that I've got the story correct, back to the AP here, asked Thursday about China denying there were any conversations ongoing with the U.S., Trump said, quote, they had a meeting this morning before adding, quote, it doesn't matter who they is. So basically he was saying, yeah, there was a meeting this morning. Don't worry about it.
Interesting.
That's an interesting approach with the press.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I know it's your job to ask for the details, right. But don't worry about it.
Don't
it's all good.
It. Yeah, you don't need good. To know.
Right.
Hmm. And maybe we don't. You know, we've been critical of strategies that involve too much telegraphing. You know, the coach.
Too much transparency.
The coach always used to single me out. They're like, be more like Davis. He never telegraphs his passes, you know?
Right.
And the kids
right.
would shake their heads. But, I mean, you know, don't telegraph your passes. That's basic.
Right. Yeah, and we have been critical of that in the past, you know, with, especially when it comes to Powell and his hour and 15-minute press conferences that he has after the FOMC meetings. It's almost like he's talking too much and letting too many secrets out on how they're going to manage the monetary policy. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe you know, we've looked at political figures in the past and kind of thought to ourselves, and we've said it maybe on the air, maybe not, but we've said it to each other. Mm-hmm. If you say it enough, maybe it's true.
Right.
Maybe it's true. Well, if he says we're in talks enough times, maybe China's going to have to respond with talks.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Just kind of wear him down a little bit.
Well, that would be better than what Andy thought was going to happen on this issue, and that
Ooh.
Is that,
yeah.
You know, China's probably going to try to wait this out and wait until the supply chains break down before they and really, when you think about it, that's how China would end up with some leverage in this conversation. Is if the supply chain does break down, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, you know what? We do need to get to the table and negotiate this thing down.
Yeah. The thing with that is, though, China still needs to make a buck. And I don't know if they've been looking for new trading partners, if they've been working on trade negotiations of their own. I don't suppose we would probably ever know.
No.
But I would be curious to know how those talks are going, if other nations are interested in cozying up more
right.
with China.
Right, right.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how some of those other manufacturing countries in Asia, how aggressive they get in the conversation with the U.S. Mm-hmm. Because
they see opportunity.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. All right, National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for April 30th through May 4th. We've got above normal temperatures expected over the, well, west of the Mississippi River. We're looking at above normal temperatures, near normal to above normal east of the Mississippi. Kind of a mixed bag on precip, but it's mostly near normal to below normal across the Corn Belt. That is for April 30th through May 4th. Come back tomorrow morning. We got the free-for-all here on AgriTalk.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
You said you'd never buy your kid candy from the checkout aisle. Or forget extra diapers. You'd never lick your thumb to clean their face. Never, ever become a minivan mom. So when you say you'd never leave your child in a hot car, know it can happen. Cars get hot fast, and kids can be at risk in temperatures as low as 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop, look, lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Progressive knows there are some surprisingly expensive things in life, like fences. A house with a big yard and a white picket fence was always the dream. But then you saw the price to install a fence and you're wondering if the color is driving the price up. Nobody ever dreams of a beige or a gray picket fence, right? So maybe those fences are cheaper. But no, they're not. Then you remember that switching your home and auto to Progressive could save you hundreds and make all your dreams of a fence come true. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Need a little help? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Need advice? We've got advice. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Exceptional customer service. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.